Mike Collins. If you haven't already taken advantage of the fact that many retailers have been pushing the shopping season by declaring all of November to be black, you still have an opportunity because Black Friday is upon us. This is a time when visions of technology dance in people's heads. I mean, sugar plums is so 1823. So in light of that fact, and because kids of all ages seem to be interested in gifts that follow the trends, be they technological or not, we are devoting the hour to what's new in the world of gadgets, gizmos, and gimmickry. We get the lowdown on high tech, and we've invited two folks to help you and Santa with all of this. Chris Reynolds is district manager of a store that specializes year-round in gadgets. Some of those gadgets you want, some you didn't know even existed. I'm talking about Brookstone. Chris is also a self-professed gadget geek. Welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program, I should say.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Very nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And joining us by phone is Steve Zimmerman, senior PR manager for ThinkGeek.com. This is a website that until yesterday I was unaware of, but boy, is it loaded with stuff. Steve, thank you for joining us as well.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You were telling me before we started that every day you come out with 6 to 9 new products.
And that's right. On average, we're launching about 6 to 9 products a day into this holiday season, getting ready, obviously, for Black Friday, what most people think of as Black November at this point. We're probably doing somewhere towards 10 and 15 a day.
And how many products are on the website? I couldn't go through the whole thing because I'd still be doing it.
Oh, no. Yeah, you'd be busy all the way up until the end of the show. And we're probably looking at right now somewhere 2,800 or so products.
Wow. Who comes up with all this stuff?
That's any number of people. We do have a great buying team here in-house that scours the world for the stuff that they're not going to find anywhere. We know that a lot of people don't have a lot of time to dedicate to searching out for the most unique and the most interesting, so we've got a great team of buyers that are focused into their individual categories, and they bring a lot of stuff. But also in-house, we have what we would like to lovingly refer to as the Geek Labs, and these guys are our in-house R&D team, so we make all of the products that we can't find. If we think something's going to be cool and we can't find it, then we're just going to go out there and make it ourselves.
Chris, let me bring it back to Brookstone, because you walk through Brookstone, and there, as I said, there are things that you didn't know existed and things that you want and things that you'd think, that's cool, maybe I could use that, let's give it a crack. Who comes up with all your stuff?
Well, we have a couple of different ways that we source product. One of those ways is obviously through B-Labs, much like Geek Labs. We have our own lab of crack engineers who build gadgetry and gizmodgery. These guys are truly amazing.
Gizmodgery? Say that again?
Gizmodgery.
Okay.
I'll be stealing that, by the way. We're going to be using that.
So we, of course, B-Labs, beautiful, fun place to go in and hang out. I love to make my annual pilgrimage there. Mm-hmm. But there's also places like the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, where we'll have small parties that come in and show off the gadgets that they're building at this time. And perhaps one of my favorite ways that we find products is actually through crowdsourcing. Yeah.
You talk about that, because
sure,
a lot of people have gone to this crowdsourcing. The people are telling you about products?
Absolutely, 100%. We will find something truly unique. Joe Blow from Kokomo could come up with a really cool gadget, and we will absolutely partner with Joe Blow, and we will help Joe make that gadget.
Before we talk about particular gadgets, and you've come laden with them, Chris, I can't see Steve, so I have to go to the website for that because he's in a remote location. But let's talk about what makes gadgets so intriguing. What is it about these things that turn people on?
Well, my opinion is that we all have those moments in our lives where we say, if I had X, Y, and Z right now, or this is a great invention. I know in college I had quite a few great inventions myself. Some of them came out of the George Foreman Grill, of course, and some of them straight out of my head. But, you know, there are those moments of clarity that you have where you say, hey, you know what? This is a need, and I don't think I'm the only guy that needs this.
So what about you, Steve? I mean, there's so many products on your website and so many products on other people's websites. This is obviously clearly a fascination that people have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, gadgets and the want to have them, their integration in our life, obviously we're seeing this increase more and more and more, and it's becoming smoother, which I think is one of the things that people are really looking for, is how they integrate it and make it a part of their lives. Just like Chris said, it's the if I have this thing and I have this need and you can fill the need, that's fantastic. For me personally, a lot of it is you look back and you read old science fiction or things like that, or even look at something like Star Trek, and you know, everybody was whipping out their tricorders and taking scans and calling to each other. And we have that now in our pockets on a daily basis.
Right.
So that kind of futuristic drive for what can we do, what can we accomplish, is I think really what gets people excited about the gadgets that are coming out today.
So because this has been Black November, and because we're right around the corner from Black Friday, a lot of things have been sold already and put together, put in boxes in the attic ready for the big day. What has been the hottest seller for you so far, Steve?
Hottest seller for us so far. We have, we just launched actually a Bluetooth speaker that's also an LED light show. It's called Supernova. Now, we know that Bluetooth speakers have been very popular for probably the last 2 years as Bluetooth becomes really kind of a standard go-to and most people are getting comfortable with it as a platform, as a system. Then we've paired it with an LED light show. So we've got LEDs in a prismatic cube. So we're creating a full-on experience where you can actually have like 36 different lights that are flashing and showing and then set it to the mood of the music that you're playing, which we've seen a lot of success with so far. So we're really kind of proud that that was coming out there.
I think I saw that at Costco yesterday, to be honest with you. And I think they advertised it as a party in a cube or something.
Yep. That's pretty much what you're looking at. Yeah. It sits, it's not huge, so it sits comfortably on a desk, so it's perfect for like in a dorm or an office if you have that kind of lucky office environment. And then you can enjoy a little bit of relaxation along with your music.
Okay. What about you guys at Brookstone?
You know, it's really hard to believe. We have 40,000 product offerings, and my most popular is sand in a jar.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Sand in a jar.
You brought some sand in a jar. But
I did.
It's not in the jar. You've let it out of the jar. It's brightly colored. I assume that it comes in many colors.
Absolutely. We have natural, or what you would find on the beach, of course, but we also offer it in several festive holiday colors this year. It's a new and improved sand this
now,
year.
You brought it out and stuck it on a tray on the table, and you said, I want you to play with this, and I stuck my hand in it before I thought, it's just going to be all over the desk, and it's not. It doesn't stick to your fingers. How is that possible? What is it?
It is 97% sand, but the 3% is the miracle piece of the product. It's actually a polymer that holds the sand molecules together, and the polymer keeps it from sticking to surfaces and your hands. Very, very unique item. There's a lot of other companies out there doing it right now, but we do have one of the best polymer blends out there.
And can you explain why this is a big seller? Are they buying it for kids?
Surprisingly enough, it's 50-50 for adults and kids.
That's part of the gadget thing.
Sure.
That's part of the, I think, the allure of gadgets in that it brings out our inner child.
Absolutely. You know, I like to think of it myself as I'm on conference calls as a stress reliever as well, so I can sit and just mold it, shape it, and pretend it's your boss's head, of course, at the same time.
Anything that surprised either of you to emerge this holiday season as either a big gift seller or a bomb? Anything that just you go, wow, what happened there?
One of the things that we're surprised about and we're happy to see, at least, and it's not so much in the gadget realm of things, but it's the growing trend to board games, which is, it takes it so far from technology back to the other way, that people are sitting down and they're interacting with these really challenging, they're referred to as German-style board games. And so the rules are a little bit more complex. There's a lot more strategy that goes into it, that we're seeing a lot of people who are gravitating towards that way is to spend time together.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with German-style board games. What do you mean by that?
One of the more popular ones out there would be something called Settlers of Catan. Then there's Carcassonne and any number of games that really involve more strategy than luck. You're not just flipping cards. You're not just rolling dice. It's how you kind of plot and plan your way through. So they're great mental exercises, and we're seeing a lot of people from all ages really going back to that kind of time together, which is, you know, great for everybody.
So this is completely low tech. There are no batteries, there are no flashing lights or things that make noise or pieces that move by themselves. It's just a board game.
Just board games.
And is it? And you said it's fundamentally these German style board games, but then
right. It's generally, those are what they refer to as the rule sets. It's the German style rule set or the German style board games. So they've got a little bit more complexity that goes to them. This is not just you're rolling a dice and kind of moving the piece around the board. So we're seeing a it's been popular over the last year or so, and they're really increasing. This is going to be a very big holiday season.
Are you seeing something similar?
I am. We're seeing some movement in the heritage-style classic board games, your Monopolies, your Clues, those sort of games, when we put them in really nice wooden boxes and make a very nice board out of it.
Are people using them, or is it simply for nostalgia? I want to have that because I remember that when I was 7 or 8 or 9, I used to play this with Mom and Dad.
So I certainly think there's a mix of both there, but I think that in our gadget-surrounded lives, there's a certain amount of us that yearns for the simplicity of a board game as well.
Hmm. So I ask you the same question I asked Steve a second ago. Anything that surprised you, either because it's a really hot seller that you didn't expect or it's a bomb that you didn't expect?
Well, you know, I certainly could not say that I didn't expect sand. I did not expect sand in a jar to be as big as it is, so... you know, I wouldn't say that we've certainly had the ability to judge what's a bomb yet. There are some things that I certainly would have liked to have seen movement on a little bit faster at this time. But as it stands right now, we're looking pretty good for the holidays.
I want to go back to this Bluetooth speaker thing that Steve mentioned a second ago. He mentioned one particular version of it that has this crystal on top and I guess laser beams in it that change color, or LEDs that change color, and you turn it on, and with the music it flashes light all over the room in different colors, party in a cube, as it were. But there are other Bluetooth speakers which have really been catching on in recent years, and there may be people out there who don't understand what they are, so why don't you tell us, Chris?
Sure. So Bluetooth is basically a radio frequency that's on the majority of all smart devices, laptops, tablets, smartphones, and this creates a wireless peer-to-peer link between two items, so I could play my music from my smartphone wirelessly to the speaker, which is truly an amazing thing. I mean, the sound quality is fantastic.
And if you have a Bluetooth-enabled laptop and you have your music collection on there, you could do the same thing. You could put the laptop in your office someplace, hit play, and then the Bluetooth speaker in the living room will pick it up and you can hear it.
Absolutely, yes.
So there's no wires, which is what makes it so darned attractive. You can move it around. And what about the sound quality of these things?
Well, you know, I think the sound quality is fantastic. It depends, obviously, on the speaker that you're buying. There are low-end speakers where you're basically just getting nothing but mid-range sound. And, of course, you have like our Big Blue Party, which has this subwoofer style built into it, and it's a fantastic speaker that will fill – it will make your neighbors angry. That's the best way to put it.
Same product available for you, Steve?
It's without a doubt. I mean, the speaker quality is really what it comes down to, and it depends on, you've got audiophiles who are using Bluetooth, which actually say how far the system has come, and then you can make your neighbors angry with just about anything.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. A lot of people, if you talk about audiophiles, they have very expensive, good, really quality speakers. Can you hook a Bluetooth receiver up, just the receiver up, to these very high-end speakers and get your music off your computer or your smartphone to those speakers that way? Has anybody invented that?
Generally, yes. There are dongles out there that are available that are turning what would be traditionally more analog speakers into Bluetooth-capable speakers as well.
Dongles. We'll talk about dongles, because there are a lot of dongles to get the video to your TV from your smartphone or your computer, and a lot of different companies make these, big companies like Google and Microsoft, and we'll talk about that in a second. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Charlotte Symphony, presenting The Magic of Christmas, featuring American Idol Melinda Doolittle, the Oratorio Singers of Charlotte, and the Charlotte Children's Choir, December 5th and 6th, 8 p.m. at Belk Theater. Tickets at charlottesymphony.org. And Alpine Ski Center, outfitting skiers and snowboarders since 1976. Performance outerwear, accessories, ski and snowboard gear for all ages, with a staff of snow sports enthusiasts. Charlotte, Greenville, and Banner Elk. Well, some good news for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools this year, because this year CMS produced the North Carolina Teacher of the Year, a history teacher from Garinger High School, James Ford, who has been traveling the state as an ambassador for the state's more than 95,000 teachers, talking about education and his approach to the classroom. And he will join us to talk about all of those things and more tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel steps down under pressure from President Obama. What the growing threat from ISIS and other global crises mean for U.S. defense strategy.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about gadgets and gizmos and novelty items that people put on their Christmas shopping lists or holiday shopping lists with Chris Reynolds, who's the district manager of Brookstone, and Steve Zimmerman, who's the senior PR manager for a website called ThinkGeek.com, which has literally tens of thousands of items on it, and they come out with 10 to 15 more every single solitary day. We've been talking a lot about things that aren't technological, like sand and board games. I want to come back to this dongle idea because a lot of people don't understand this either, but there are these little things that look like thumb drives that you plug into your smart TV that has an HDMI connector on it or a USB port on it. And you can push video and programming from your computer or even your smartphone to your big screen television. And these are made by lots of different people. Google Chrome has one called Chromecast. Microsoft just came out with one that I'm told is a Chromecast killer. I don't know what that means. Are these things that you guys deal with? I mean, and how do they work?
You know, it's not something that I sell inside of my store, but it's something personally I use. I am able to stream content from places like Hulu, places like Netflix, and catch up on all the things that I miss while I'm out working inside of the stores.
and these work essentially like the Bluetooth things. They just send a wireless signal to your television, and but you have to have the right TV.
That is correct. Actually, it works with most any TV. Roku actually makes some products that plug in directly through RCA jacks in the back of your television as well. Mm-hmm. But all it needs is a Wi-Fi network, and you're good to go.
Well, I was browsing your website yesterday, Steve, at thinkgeek.com. They have everything from gadgets to computer equipment to clothing, and one of the things that I kind of got the impression of, there's a lot of fandom stuff going out there on your website, a lot of things that are aimed at people who are, and it's called ThinkGeek.com, who are geeks for things
don't
like
Star Trek. Don't bury the lead at all on that one.
That's right, for things like Star Trek and Star Wars and things. Are there trends out there this year in that vein?
Oh, without a doubt. The fandom market is phenomenal, and watching it kind of ebb and flow. This past summer was a huge year for Marvel and Marvel movies, and so people who were not always in the comics were still turning out to the movie theaters to see these, you know, massive movies, and we've got even more coming out. They released, I guess, their schedule all the way out to 2017, I think. Mm-hmm. And so we now are anticipating that, and then you've got another Star Wars movie coming out about this time next year, and so people are already gearing up for that, and they're looking for pictures and images and things. And then, of course, you've got Star Trek, and Star Trek has been rebooted in the movies, and it's been going on for years and years now, and there's, you know, multitude of series, and so people are gravitating towards that thing, one, because they've been fans of it their entire lives, and then we see a trend towards the generation that started with it. So if you watch the original Star Trek back in the 70s, I'm sorry, Star Wars back in the 70s, you've introduced your kids to it now too, and so they're kind of growing the next generation of geeks, which is fantastic to watch. So we always constantly see this kind of ebb and flow of what's popular and what's not. And then you've got some series coming over from BBC, like things like Doctor Who, which has really been huge in England for a lot of years and is now taking an exceptionally strong foothold here in the States.
It actually surprised me and alarmed me a little bit because you talk about Doctor Who, Star Trek, the original Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Wars. Most of these things started in the 70s, 80s, and you've got so much on that website, clothing, phasers. We'll talk about R2-D2 in a minute, but, I mean, you've got all these lightsabers, and it's all from 30 years ago. I mean,
it's all from 30 years ago. These are things that people loved when they were kids, and now they're into a point in their life where they can afford the toys that they couldn't have. One of our I mean, I love it to death. I still fiddle with it. I've got three of the things on my desk right now is Lego. These Lego sets can get an upwards of, you know, hundreds of dollars, and you're not generally giving that to your 10-year-old, but at the same time, it might be something that you want to build and play with yourself, even if it's just fiddling on a conference call.
Wow, and nothing is coming along really to eclipse Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who. I mean, you mentioned Marvel, but they haven't eclipsed...
No, I don't think they've eclipsed them yet. There's a certain heritage feeling and fandom that goes along with things like Star Trek and Star Wars. They've been established, and they're much loved, and they're cherished. I mean, the last three Star Wars movies that came out, say what you will about them, some people really, really liked them. Some people couldn't stand them because it kind of shifted this thing that they had loved since they were kids. It's nostalgia is probably best viewed through rose-colored glasses, and so people have this really tight attachment on what they kind of grew up with, and so we're still seeing that. We also see, because these fandoms are getting older and they're, you know, having families of their own, we always call it the secret handshake. So you might be wearing something. You mentioned we have clothing, and we do, and a lot of it is very blatant in your face, and it's a logo for something. But there are a number of pieces that are small, subtle detailing, so that if you're a fan of that thing, you might recognize another fan, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're calling it out in an extravagant way. And so we're seeing a big increase in popularity in that style of thing as well. So people are just bringing it into their everyday lives because they can.
Now, you have brought in, Chris, a lot of interesting things here. The table is laden. It might collapse under the weight of all the stuff that you brought in. And I don't know where to begin, but the one thing that you handed me before we started was this little tiny box that looks about the size of a key fob. What does it do?
This is a virtual keyboard. It actually projects a red laser keyboard on any flat surface. And we were speaking about Bluetooth earlier. This actually connects to any smart device with Bluetooth and gives you a keyboard.
Turn it on. Okay. This is literally the size of a... tiny little key fob for your car that you would put in your pocket. And the beeping you hear is it's projecting a keyboard on the desk here. It looks just like a keyboard, and my fingers are in the way of the keys, and that's it's just telling you every time it beeps that you're pushing a key. So let me put my fingers on it. I'm actually typing on what? A projected light keyboard.
That is correct, a light keyboard.
And how accurate is this?
You know, it's fairly accurate, I will say. It's certainly not for speed typers. So if you took any typing classes in school, this is probably not the product for you.
So this is for hunt and peckers?
A little bit more of a hunt and peck type deal.
This would be for journalists.
Yeah, or today's texter or a social media person, this is certainly a nice little pocket keyboard for them.
It's actually very, very cool because it projects a keyboard in red. Does it come in different colors?
Only red for now.
Well, it's a perfect keyboard on the desk in red. It's exactly the right size for your fingers, and it just comes from this little box. It's really quite amazing. Now, that's pretty high-tech. That's pretty high-tech.
Correct.
This, however, this twist bit screwdriver, which changes bits with a twist, is, well, it's kind of high-tech, isn't it? Because you don't have to take the... If you have a Phillips head in the screwdriver, you don't have to take the Phillips head off. How does it work?
That is correct. There's actually a barrel that holds six different bits, and it works a lot like a revolver. You can actually pull up on the screwdriver, turn the revolver, and change the bits. Cool thing, if there's a bit that you use that's not inside of there, you pop the old bit or the bit that's existing out, slide your own bit in.
Speaking of bits... Fitbits, they're everywhere. These are these little bracelets. Do you guys deal with those, Steve?
We do. We have some wearable tech as well. Fitbit's a specific brand. There's the wearable tech. We saw, obviously, the phenomenal increase in things when Apple announced their watch. It's becoming more popular. People want to track. People want to know what they're doing. It's a great way to keep track, obviously, of the steps you take, of elevation change. And for those that are more data-minded, they can use it to kind of shift and alter patterns. Some turn it into a competition. One of the biggest out at CES this year was from a company called Razor. And it was, I believe, called the Naboo or the Naboo. And they won an award from Engadget for it's another piece of wearable tech. And this one's actually focused on kind of gamers. Razor's traditionally a gaming peripheral company. So we're trying to get more people who you traditionally think of as sitting on their couches up and out and moving around a little bit more.
Hmm. So this is collecting big data on yourself, essentially, because it counts the number of steps you take, et cetera. How do these Fitbit bracelets work? They're tiny. They're smaller than a watch, but they fit around your wrist. How do they work, Rick?
They actually have built-in altimeters, so they basically track every single step that you make and every movement that you make as well. They are even effective at picking up, going up and down stairs. They can tell the difference between that and your normal gait. Understands active minutes as well. And it even reads sleep patterns, believe it or not.
Hmm. Do these make, I mean, I could see where I would want it to track my own activity, but did these make for good gifts? Or if by giving a Fitbit to someone else, are you perhaps giving them a not-so-sly suggestion that you ought to get in shape?
So my wife would probably say it's a fine gift, but say it's slightly tilted grim. So,
how many other health-related gadgets or gizmos are out there this year?
Wow. We have tons of new massage inside of our stores, if you consider that part of health. But our health and fitness section is a good quarter of our store. So it's 25% of our products.
Steve?
Probably a little less than 25%, but we do see a lot heading in that way.
What do these things do? What do they do? What are people looking for? What do they want to track? Aside, get out of the Fitbit category. What on these other devices? What do they want to? What do they do?
They want to track any number of things. they want to integrate the technology easier in their life. One of the things that we just started selling is a headband that is wireless. So again, using Bluetooth technology. That's for when you go out and run when it's cold, you don't have the wires bouncing around, you can still keep your ears warm. So you're still streaming your music or whatever it is that you like to listen to in your run. So people want to have ease of access to the information or the music or anything along that note. Like Chris said, these things also track if you've been sleeping well, and it can tell you whether you're in deep REM sleep or if you're just waking up or if you're tossing and turning, or so you can kind of set your own sleep cycle. People are really starting to look into how they function on a daily basis and then sort of call it the ultimate life hack.
Are these things expensive? Are they expensive or are they reasonably priced?
I'd say they're reasonably priced. They do range in terms of features anywhere from, I've seen some down to $50, and then they go up to $150, $200 as well.
And we are in the same range, absolutely, just depending on what it is you want to do and how involved you want to be in it. A Fitbit can run anywhere from $50 to $250.
So what's on the $50? What's on the $250 one that's not available on the $50 version?
You get heart rate monitoring on there as well. So that's the big new thing for Fitbit this year.
And are they accurate? I mean, if you were to have a team of physicians follow you with all of their equipment, would they be getting the same readings that your Fitbit is getting?
I assume so.
But you'll never know.
But I'll never know.
The team of physicians might not say yes, but for I think your basic user, the heartbeat monitor is going to be close enough.
Okay. So these things like the Fitbit and some of these other less expensive tech gadgets to monitor your health or make you healthier, are they more popular with younger, more active people, or are they more popular with older people who are trying to stay fit?
I would say it's certainly a mix of both. We have a new product called PrepPad, which actually helps you to control your caloric intake as well. And PrepPad is certainly selling across any age group and any sex. It doesn't matter.
Hmm. Let's talk about, we've talked about board games and particularly the German-style board games being fairly popular right now. And they're low-tech and they're reminiscent of, Parcheesi or chess or something like that. What are some of the other games that seem to be selling well? Are they strictly in the electronic Xbox, PlayStation variety, or are they standalone games and things that kids and adults want to play? Steve?
Well, video games are still obviously really popular. The market is growing more and more, and people are starting to see them as legitimate entertainment. As the technology catches up, they're adding things like, you know, cutscenes and mini movies, and essentially they're becoming interactive movies. So for an investment of, on average, about $60, if you're playing on a PlayStation or an Xbox, you've got what could potentially be 70, 80 hours worth of content to sit down and play through. So if you're spending $15 to go see a two-hour long movie, or $60 to actually become part of the movie for 80 hours, people are seeing that as, you know, money well spent and at least a way to be entertained.
Chris?
You know, I personally am seeing with my group of geek friends a movement towards online app games as well. And not that there's much gifting to that, but I think the gifting of credit to play those games is actually moving pretty solidly.
Name some.
The one that my friends and I play pretty regularly is Game of War. It's an online game where you are basically role-playing as back in medieval times.
And is that on your smartphone or on your computer?
It's actually on smartphone or my tablet.
Okay. And to do that, to play, do you have to text somebody or get on the phone with somebody and say, I'm going to play now, want to play with me? Or do you just get on it and start playing? And there are other people out there playing.
It is absolutely fully immersive. So you get on there and everything that you need is on that app. The app download is free, but to do anything,
it costs.
Correct.
They call that get, I think. Where the app is free in the Apple Store, I think if the app is free, but to do things in the app, they call it a get. I don't know why. Shay in Huntersville says, I have a beautiful pair of vintage Bose 901 speakers, which I'd rather not replace due to their impeccable style. Is there a gadget to convert vintage speakers to wireless or Bluetooth? There must be.
There's got to be. I do not have
it. Yeah.
But I could certainly source something out and find it.
Would a Best Buy kind of a store or a Radio Shack kind of a store know the answer to that question? Does anybody know?
I would probably say, depending on the age of the speakers, your best bet out of those two choices would probably be Radio Shack. They tend to carry more of the DIY electronic stuff that would be needed. But really, obviously, Google is such an amazing resource.
Well, that's true.
That's where I would dump in a little bit of information to see if other people have pulled that one off as well.
What about educational games? Are there educational games that seem to be really popular right now?
It might not strictly be considered an educational game, but one of the games that we have a license for and that we know is really popular amongst kids generally ages 11 to 16 and we know has been using in schools is a game called Minecraft. This has been surging in popularity. I mean, it's huge, and you can find it in our store. You can find it in Target, Walmart, anywhere.
That's,
really.
And that's kids to adults, Minecraft.
It's kids to adults. We're seeing, because of its general nonviolent nature and the creative aspect that you can put into things, we have gotten a lot of reports of it being used in schools to teach architecture circuitry, because you can actually build working circuits within it using the materials that you find in the game. And so what it was never intended to be a truly educational toy, but people have really adapted and molded it to become so.
We were talking about gadgets and gifts for the holidays. Steve Zimmerman's with us from ThinkGeek.com. Chris Reynolds is here from Brookstone. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Duke Energy, working with local and state economic development partners to attract businesses, create jobs, and strengthen the community. More information at duke-energy.com/4U. And D-Day, Normandy, 1944, now showing in IMAX at Discovery Place. Audiences of all ages, including new generations, will discover how this landing changed the world. Tickets at discoveryplace.org. After months of tension, a St. Louis County grand jury has decided not to indict Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson in the shooting death of Michael Brown. Diane Rehm and her guest will talk about the reaction to the verdict from civil rights groups, protesters, and law enforcement coming up at 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. We will continue talking about gadgets and gifts and other strange things for your holiday shopping list. WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks or charlottetalks@WFAE.org will get you to us.
Starbucks has Wi-Fi. That is true. They're also working on wireless charging of a sort, but They're not the only ones.
McDonald's, the Coffee Bean, Madison Square Garden also use the PowerMat. Starbucks is not the only one out there.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl. Coffee shops and fast food that could take over the tech industry. Next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE, listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about gadgets with Steve Zimmerman, Senior PR Manager for ThinkGeek.com. Chris Reynolds is District Manager for Brookstone. And in answer to Shay's question earlier, one of our listeners, you can go online and just type in some very basic information and get all kinds of gadgets that you can attach to your regular speakers to make them receive wireless signals from whatever devices you have stored your music collection on. We're going to let people join us if they have questions about this at Charlotte Talks at WFAE.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. Some people say that we have too many gadgets. I was reading on a website yesterday, usell.com, that 42% of Americans are suffering from EGO, extreme gadget obesity, which means they have too much stuff. Are you aware of that? And does it concern you?
I may very well be suffering with EGO right now. If you check my car and my drawers in my kitchen, there may be a decade's worth of gadgetry sitting there.
Steve?
I'm guilty of it as well. I've had to pare down a lot as I've been traveling more and more, because as you go through TSA, you don't want to have to keep on dumping out device after device after device. So I've finally given up my an iPod, and put all my music on my phone, so now I'm carrying just the one thing. So if I lose this, I'm extra in trouble.
Yeah.
But you've tried to strip it down.
Well, Christmas and computers have gone together for years, I guess, and I know that you don't sell computers, but you do sell things that go with computers, peripheral smartphone devices that go with smartphones and iPhones and pads and things like that. A lot of things, though, go with iPhones and iPads. What is it about Apple? Why aren't there as many things out there for Microsoft or for Android products, or are there?
You know, for us, there are. Most everything that we have that is Apple-enabled is also Google Play enabled as well, or Android enabled.
Okay. All right. Steve?
It's much the same. Apple's done an amazing job with their marketing and their advertising, but a lot of the stuff that works for and is advertised for iPhone will also generally, not always, work for Android as well. One of the big things is that there is really no standard when it comes to Android devices and also what people overlay on the iOS, so it's always worth looking into just to be sure that your device is compatible with what you're buying, but for the most part, it will be.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, because Android is like Windows in that it is geared to be used on a lot of different devices by a lot of different manufacturers, and in Android's case, some manufacturers will overlay the Android operating system with their own special features, which get in the way of some of the apps that you might download that will work on a generic Android, but maybe not on your particular brand. And that's something that you have to consider, I suppose. Smartwatches started coming out a couple of years ago, and this year, of course, Apple came out with theirs. Has that been a category buster for them?
You know, surprisingly, the smartwatch category for us is really sticking around the Apple device, so to speak. We don't actually sell the Apple device. Obviously, I think Apple is releasing it early next year. But I've seen the Windows version of it, and it looks like it's got some promise. Samsung was the first on the market with it, and I know a few folks who have the Samsung smartwatch. I'm not sure how much use they get out of it, but it's an interesting concept. I'm waiting to see what Apple brings to the table.
I want to talk about some of these other things that you have. Two big boxes on the desk here. Let's start with this one. This is a smaller version of a big box, but this is just a beer mug. What makes this beer mug something that people will buy?
Who doesn't want a beer mug for Christmas, let's be frank?
Be specific.
Well, we
this is a pop and pour beer mug.
We found a need, is what we did. We had a guy that basically said, "Hey, what if we took a really nice beer mug and we put a bottle opener, which is the thing that you shuffle through your drawers looking for all the time, right on the bottom?"
So this looks like a crystal beer mug.
It is.
It's a cut glass crystal beer
mug. That is correct.
And on the bottom of it is the bottle opener for the bottle of beer.
You've got a heavy gauge steel bottle opener mounted on the bottom of the beer glass.
How did I ever live without it?
I've been wondering that the entire time.
Now, you also brought this thing called, is it a Rover? Rover Revolution?
That is correct.
What is this? This looks like a toy device, a car, almost essentially, that you could put on the floor. Maybe it's, 8 inches, 10 inches long?
Correct.
Talk about it.
Rover Revolution is actually one of my favorite products. It actually is a spy tank. There is a 360-degree turret-mounted camera built into it, which also has night vision. You can have zero lumens outside. It can be pitch black, and this thing will still see and record to your smart device. It hooks up just like anything else with Bluetooth. Actually, this guy creates its own Wi-Fi signal, so it's not even Bluetooth. And you can drive it around. It has two-way audio built into it, so you can actually have a conversation with someone. It's pretty fun. We sell a lot for kids, but I'm suspicious we sell just as many for adults.
Wow. How would a person – I guess I could put it out in the backyard at night and have a conversation with the raccoons that are digging up my yard. I guess I could – and I would know that they're there because I could see them with the night vision. You also sell drones.
We do.
Talk about drones for me. I mean, there are all kinds of restrictions on how you can use these things. How high do they fly? Where do they go? How do you control them? There are cameras mounted on these drones. Should we be concerned about privacy issues?
Probably not. No. The drone itself actually creates a Wi-Fi network. It connects to a smart device, and you can fly it around most anywhere you'd like. The funny thing is this year they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. We have a new one that I literally just saw yesterday called Quark. And Quark fits in the palm of your hand and has the capability to record video.
Really?
Yes.
Internally, or does it beam it back to your smart device and record it?
This particular one does both. So you will be able to add an SD card to it and record internally.
Are these difficult to fly, or are these the kinds of things that you'll put up in the air and 5 seconds later it's on the ground in 1,000 pieces and you'll toss it in the trash can?
So the beauty of the quadricopter, because it has 4 blades, is that it's very well balanced. If one of the props is damaged or hits something, then you're gonna have a little bit of a time to try and regain control. But flight by itself is very, very smooth and very easy to do.
Are they easier to fly than a couple of years ago? Helicopters were all the rage. You could buy a helicopter that was remote controlled and fly it around, and some people had better success than others with those. Are they easier to fly than those?
Much easier, much easier. The only thing about these is that they do require a smart device to connect.
Right. So if you had a drone and this Rover Revolution, you'd be covered on the ground and in the air.
Absolutely, 100%.
For whatever's coming at you in the middle of the night. Now, ThinkGeek.com seems to offer a lot of clothing items, and many of them, we're going to go back to this fan stuff, are aimed at fans of movies and TV shows like the original series of Star Trek. You have a uniform hoodie. From the original uniforms, you have a uniform hoodie from the Next Generation uniform. You have a 10th Doctor Who costume pajama set. Are these things for kids or for adults?
Oh, they're for adults. There's no question. This is because what adult doesn't want to walk around wearing footy pajamas? These are the things that we mentioned earlier. That some of them are a secret handshake. Some of them are really blatant, like footy pajamas for Doctor Who and things like that. This is... people love celebrating it, or they sit down, and every year Doctor Who does a Christmas special, so we get a lot of letters from fans saying it's a family tradition that they sit down, they watch the Doctor Who Christmas special on Christmas, and at least half of the family is wearing their footy pajamas, and you know what? That's great. That's fantastic. If that's how you want to spend your time together, then we want to be able to help encourage
that. Well, speaking of Doctor Who, you have a number of TARDIS-themed objects. One is a TARDIS shower curtain. The TARDIS, of course, is the old English phone booth that Doctor Who uses to transport himself all over the galaxy. But you also sell a what is described as a large TARDIS fridge. Is this a full-size refrigerator that looks like a TARDIS?
No, this is not a full-size refrigerator. Although, admittedly, just like everything else that's TARDIS, it is bigger on the inside. And so it does hold more beverages than you possibly think that it could. But no, not a full-size fridge. Shipping on that would probably be a little bit rough.
Although, I can see people putting that in their kitchen, although it would mess up the rest of the design. You'd have to come up with other kitchen appliances that match.
Well, that's the thing. We offer a lot of Doctor Who stuff. We've got a lot of Doctor Who kitchen stuff coming out now, so it might not affect the design aesthetic as much as you'd think.
And R2-D2 seems to be incredibly popular on your website. You have an exclusive Star Wars R2-D2 measuring cup set, an R2-D2 trash can, R2-D2 carry-on luggage, R2-D2 ladies' yoga pants, R2-D2 kitchen timers, nutcrackers, can coolers, and the list goes on.
Oh, we even have an R2-D2 car charger where you plug it into the cigarette outlet on your car, and it offers up two USB ports to charge your devices, and so you can have your own little astromech droid while you're driving around, and the head swivels around, and it makes all the noises that you could expect. So we're not responsible if you keep on talking to yourself and your little plastic astromech droid in your car, but it is a fun little nod to R2.
Well, you should make an R2-D2 telephone charger, but it should only charge Android phones. Because it's a droid.
I'll make sure that we get that. We'll get that idea into Lucasfilm right away. One of the reasons it's R2-D2 is if you stop and think about it, R2-D2 is really kind of the hero of the Star Wars movies.
Right.
He's the one that delivers the plans and everything else, and he's the one that people year and year and year, like you know, year after year, really gravitate towards, which is hilarious considering he's just a little rolling trash can.
Now, I've been looking at this on the desk for the whole show, Chris. It's the Perfect Bake app-controlled smart baking set. It's not one of those Easy Bake ovens that kids used to get. What is this?
Not at all. This is not your mom's Easy Bake oven, that's for sure. This is actually an app-enabled scale that allows you to scroll through quite literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tested recipes and to bake something perfectly every single time. So basically what happens is as you're pouring ingredients into the bowls on the scale, you will see the amount on the smart device that you're using, whether it be tablet or smartphone, raising. As you add more, it raises again.
So this comes with a piece of software that you put in your tablet device, right?
Actually, no. You just plug the scale directly into your tablet and download the app. It's as simple as that.
Okay, and this is not unlike another piece of equipment that you have, the app-controlled bartending device, because it will perfectly measure out the ingredients of a cocktail.
Between you and I, it's my favorite wine of the two.
It comes with recipes for various cocktails, which are updated, I'm told, on a regular basis.
Constantly. We have probably 500 to 700 drinks on there currently.
And so as you pour in your various adult beverages into this cocktail, it knows the density of the liquids and what they weigh so that you can mix the perfect drink. And if you need to make a pitcher, you just tell it, I'm making a pitcher of this stuff, and it adjusts the recipes. And as you pour the liquid, you can see it going up or down. And if you overpour, what happens?
It will actually adjust the recipe so that you can add in additional amounts of the other ingredients to make the drink proper every single time.
How did we live before all this?
I have no idea.
Drink our mistakes, and that's okay too.
Is that a good seller?
It's an excellent seller, actually. So last year we had such huge success with the Perfect Drink, we had to bring out the Perfect Bake. We feel like this is the next in a long line of perfect appliances that we can add to your kitchen.
Talk about smart home devices. Do either of you and your companies deal with smart home? These are the things that run your lights when you're not there and maybe open your garage door or close it or turn up the heat or the air conditioning. Do you deal in these things?
We personally don't deal with them inside of our stores. However, me being the geek that I am, I had to have – first time they released the Nest, I had to get a Nest so I can control my thermostat with my – my smart device. That's absolutely a must-have.
Steve?
We Carried some once in a while. It depends on, we want it to be something special. We recognize that, you know, Nest is one of those amazing things that's out there that we're never going to be able to compete against. For a while, we actually sold, and I had in my apartment, because why not, a Bluetooth device that sits in your egg tray and lets you know how long your eggs have been there and if you're out. So it's the one item that will always remind me that I need to pick it up at the grocery store, because apparently that's what I need in my life. So there are devices like that that are out there where we are seeing more integration into home automation, things like that. And there are companies that are starting to get it right. It's just, it's not something that's been totally adopted.
Keith on Twitter writes, the best German-style board game to give people who don't normally play would be Ticket to Ride. It's easy to learn for any age. Steve, you brought up German board games. Is that one of them that you're familiar with?
Oh, yeah. Ticket to Ride is a great game. There's a lot of iterations of it out there in the world. So it's, you're essentially trying to connect your railroads to different cities and lining them up and blocking other passengers so you can create the longest road possible. And they have a lot of different maps that range, you know, across Europe and North America and things like that. It's a really good recommendation, actually.
Very quickly, Kim Commando, who does a weekly technology radio show and writes a column for USA Today, says there are five tech gifts you should avoid this holiday season. I'll just get your agree or disagree. Number one, cutting-edge tech products because they're too expensive and sometimes you have no idea how you'll actually use them in real life. Agree or disagree? Avoid those or not?
I would generally agree. Unless it's a specific direction to grab something, I would avoid it.
Steve?
I'd agree as well, unless you really, really know the person and that they are always on the bleeding edge of tech.
Very quickly, high-end TVs, because the real sales will be just before the Super Bowl, not now. And 4K TV prices are still dropping rapidly, but she fails to mention that there is virtually no programming that takes advantage of 4K television. Streaming media gadgets like Roku, Google, Nexus Player, Apple TV, avoid those because you shouldn't buy something for somebody else because you don't know what they already have. Agree or disagree?
Very personal items, I agree.
All right. Standalone gadgets like point-and-shoot cameras because people already have those in their pocket, in their phones. And laptops because the best deals come in January or back to school in September and August. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it. We're completely out of time.